Hey, KU fans, welcome back to the KU Sports Hour here at KUSports.com. We got the whole crew here today. Shane Jackson with me, Benton Smith with me. Both of them over the moon excited about not having to cover Kansas football this weekend. Am I right, fellas? Did I go too far or did I speak for you well there?
Yeah, I mean, especially in a season like this where they're just getting pounded game after game, it gets, you know, a little repetitive. So I was thankful that that Texas Tech game ended up being interesting at the end.
Definitely. So, yeah. Definitely. That's the whole reason I wrote that blog earlier in the week that said KU should call it. I don't think that's what happened. Obviously, KU didn't just <Right. laughs> wave the white flag and say, we're good. You know,
yeah, you're not allowed to do that, turns out.
Yeah, but I think they should have, and I don't imagine they protested very loudly when Texas was like, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to play. They were like, sounds good. See you next year. Because then it changes ever so slightly. It changes your last thoughts about this team, right? It changes.
Yeah, that, for sure.
Instead of getting beat by 100 by Texas at home in front of nobody, you now can remember that, hey, they were, as your story from that game wrote, one play away from winning on the road in the Big 12 against a team that was absolutely motivated to keep that from happening. I mean, Texas Tech was still embarrassed and hurting from the loss to KU last year. And so it wasn't like KU went down there and caught Texas Tech overlooking them. I mean, Tech was ready for that game, and KU's defense stood up and KU played pretty well. And, you know, hey, 16-13 is not going to excite anybody, but
it's exciting to me.
Yeah, and when you look at all the other scores, that one looks good if you're a Kansas fan. So I think it was a great outcome for KU, and I think it was a great outcome for both of you guys. and I'm happy for you. I really am. I had already decided it's hardcore basketball season right now, and we'll do one on that next week. There's a lot to talk about with Big 12 play starting and all that. But this one is a season wrap-up for football, and we're not going to rehash – everything, because you guys watched it, lived through it, hated it, whatever you did. There's no reason for you to listen to it more, or you'll just turn this off. But we are going to touch on it a little bit. And really, this whole podcast will be based on two questions. Number one, what did KU football get out of 2020? And number two, where do they go from here? So, Benton, I want you to start us off with what did they get out of 2020, ... if anything?
Yeah, the one thing is definitely something that they ended up leaning into pretty early, and that's just that they played a ton of freshmen, right? We were maybe three games into the year when they started talking about, you know, how impressed they are with some of these freshmen, and the further along we got, sometimes out of necessity, they had to play more and more guys. So I think that's the one positive you can take away, is that some freshmen looked good in some moments, and that's kind of like your foundation for what you're trying to build. Now, the bad news for KU fans is that they're tired of rebuilding. You know,
yeah.
It's been one constant unsuccessful rebuild, you know, since Mangino left, basically. So, I mean, that part of it is not exciting, but I do think there are some really positive young players in this program that, you know, 2 years from now will be your foundation. And if you keep building on this previous recruiting class, which seems to be pretty decent with, you know, a similar level of players
right
year after year, suddenly you've got something and you're actually, you know, a competent football program again in a couple of years. And again, that's the tough part, is that fans are going to have to wait. I mean,
right.
As good as a lot of these freshmen were in 2020, that doesn't mean they can carry a team next year, despite how much progress they make in the offseason.
Yeah, so that's the question then, right? They gain on this hand young talent that they know can play and that they feel good about sticking on the field in the future. They lose even more standing with their fan base. I mean, look, we've been doing this a long time. I mean, I covered the first half of this decade of a debacle, and you've covered the last half, and we've both been there for all of it. I mean, Shane's been around for enough of it. It was, you know, this was, even by Kansas standards, this was a rough year in that regard. And I don't know that anybody really thought that could happen. I think anybody paying attention, and we've talked about this a lot here in the preseason, during the season, whatever, anybody paying attention knew that this was going to be a rough season. Like, you just look at the roster, you look at who they lost, you look, it just was. But I don't know that anybody, present company included, I don't know that anybody thought it was going to be quite as rough and look quite as bad as it did at times. And so the question then becomes, is what you gained in that young talent and feeling good about that, does that offset what you lost in terms of your fans falling even farther and farther out of touch and care with your program? I mean, Shane, do you have any feel for that?
I think really the important conversation is, did all these young players play because they're good and they have potential, or is it just because there weren't as many good veterans? I mean, that is a really important conversation that we don't know the answer to yet. It'll maybe another year or two before we do. And there's reasons to believe that this team has potential because all the young kids did play and had their moments. But I think there's no guarantee that it was because, hey, this team is, you know, rebuilding and building a foundation. But I do think it's important to note that, you know, they had their moments and they look good at this point this year without really a full offseason. I mean, and all that. And so that's the reason that I think there is more reason for optimism after this year, even though it was a really bad year than maybe years past. And it is interesting to see, with the full offseason, with spring ball and all that, will be better next year. Can they take a leap next year? And by that, can they just compete and cover a spread before the season finale?
Shane Vegas, ladies and gentlemen, there he is. He always tries to hold it down, but it never fails. I've always been a big believer in the fact that even if you're losing guys, which they lost a lot, guys opting out this year, guys entering the transfer portal, good luck to those guys. But my belief on that deal is, if those are the guys that have been around to have this program be what it's been over the last 2, 3, 4 years, then how much of a loss is it? I mean, you know, obviously you hate to lose depth and experience and all that, but it obviously wasn't winning you games either. So I don't think any of that stuff can be too harshly judged, because I don't think it's always bad news. I think sometimes it's good news. And so I think that the big question, and Benton, I want you to get in more on this. I mean, the big question is definitely, like, was it a fluke, or are these young guys legit? And so start us off. I mean, the top three or four, Benton, truly talented young players that you feel like, look, I know this guy's going to be back next year and make a difference because he's good. I mean, are there three? Are there four? I mean, where do you start on that list?
Caron Prunty is at the top of the list for me. Had an amazing year for a true freshman playing cornerback. I mean, he was so good that they entered the year starting him. I mean, and he got better as the year went on. Had closed the year with his best game by far. Finally got an interception, had a great pass breakup in the end zone. The guy made tackles all year, because, you know, the linebackers weren't good, so defensive backs were making tackles.
He got a shout-out from Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
I know that sounds petty and, like, very junior high, but, like, Aqib Talib's giving you love. That's one of the best to ever do it, certainly at Kansas and even in the NFL. And so that was just a Twitter thing, but you can only imagine how that made Prunty feel. Like, this is – okay, I got a chance. I mean, if he thinks I'm decent, you know, so – keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, Kenny Logan at safety, and also as a, you know, returner on special teams is an impactful guy. I really like Marcus Harris and Dejon Terry up front. Those guys were redshirt freshmen, so they had the benefit of being around the program and kind of easing into bigger roles. And they both, you know, showed in flashes they can be productive. So there's four guys on defense. So that's a pretty good start.
Right.
And I do think those guys are good. I don't think those guys are ones that had to play by default. That did happen in other areas for sure. And then on offense, you know, Jalen Daniels, he had to play by default. You know, the plan entering the year wasn't for him to be your starting quarterback, but I mean, it became such a disaster right off the bat with Thomas McVitie getting hurt in that Coastal Carolina game. And so that's when they basically punted on what they their original plan was for quarterback, and went to Jalen Daniels. And then, you know, he's under pressure so much and is, you know, thrown into the fire. And I mean, he was in a terrible situation, because that's the one thing. I mean, none of us thought this was going to be a good year for the team, but I think me and Shane might've picked 2-8. Is that right, Shane? I don't want to.
Yes.
Okay.
I get that.
Yeah. But I mean, what we didn't know is how bad the offensive line was, right?
Nobody knew that.
We didn't know it was going to be that bad. They were historically bad. Shane's documented that throughout the year with, you know, the grades that they've received for, you know, pass blocking and just overall grades as well. I mean, they were terrible. They were historically bad. And that's why this season was a disaster. And I mean, there's no way you can have a 17-year-old quarterback play behind that line and have any type of success. And I mean, that line.
You can't have a 27-year-old quarterback play behind that
right.
line.
I mean, right? that line's the reason that, you know, Puka Williams opted out, I guarantee you.
Sure.
I mean, he has no interest in getting hurt for some team that's going to go 0-10. And, you know, he's constantly getting, you know, hammered because there's no blocking.
Little did he know they were only going 0-9.
I know. Yeah, gosh. There you go. He totally blew it, just like I blew it saying 0-10. But, yeah, I mean, on offense, I think, like, Jalen Daniels, I think because we saw him so often be in these terrible situations, it's hard for me to get a good grasp of what he's going to be. I know the coaches really like him long term.
Yeah.
That they think he can be the guy for that position. So, obviously we'll see maybe come the spring or next year, just how impactful he actually can be in 2021. They're going to need him to be good. They're going to need him to be better. But it's not all on him, you know? Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I think, and let's start there. I mean, I want to hear some other offensive names in a minute, but let's pause and jump into that. I mean, is Jalen Daniels the starter next year? Does he go into the spring as the starter? I mean, I asked that with like a cringe on my face because I don't know. I mean, what Les Miles has shown here is that I don't know if he has trouble making decisions on those types of things or if the personnel made that troublesome. But I would like to think that a guy as accomplished as Les, who's been around, would if he had a guy, if he had a true, clear number one quarterback, that he would announce it, whether it's to us or not. I mean, like, we'll find out. But that it would be known, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because that only helps your team.
Yeah, I mean, historically, he's not been that guy. Les Miles has not been that guy to – I mean, even before he came to KU, he's been a guy who will wait and, you know, kind of want to, I don't know what the, sometimes there's an obvious quarterback and you can't, you know, if you have.
Yeah. I mean, like Jamarcus Russell at LSU. QB,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
He had to, I mean, right. He
right.
Had to say.
Right. But if you don't have someone that obvious, I think he will kind of wait it out.
Okay.
So, I mean, I just, even though I expect Jalen Daniels would be the starter entering next year, I don't think that's something they'll say.
Yeah, that's fair. So, but you think that's how it'll operate?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think he'll be, you know, Kendrick will be the backup, and, you know, unless something crazy happens and Kendrick makes some type of leap and Jalen Daniels has some issues, I would say it would be that way. Daniels one and Kendrick two, and then when Ben Easters gets here, you see how good he is as a freshman, and, you know, maybe he climbs up to two. You know, we don't know at this point.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of unknown still. And I think for the casual fan, the idea that Jalen played so much and got a taste and got a really sour taste. I mean, this kid, like, he popped up. He was smiling. He kept a good attitude in the face of just absolute nightmare scenarios, right? So now that he's seen that, I don't think it can get worse. God almighty, we've said that throughout this decade. So here we go again, but I don't think it can get worse based on what he's seen, right? So I think that there's a real chance that even just a little improvement to Jalen, not from Jalen, but from those around him, the line especially, all of a sudden the game's going to look totally different to him, and he's going to be like, oh my God, I have time to go to my second read? This is amazing, you know, and – so, I mean, I think he's set up to take a pretty big jump if he is the guy. a lot has to happen before that. They have to find a line still. And I don't know if they will. Benton, we were talking about this on the phone the other day. We went way too deep into it. I felt bad at the end of it. I was like, we can worry about that in 2021. I'm sorry to make you do this, but I'm going to make you do it now for these fine people listening and for Shane who can chime in too. What does the O-line future look like right now? I mean, obviously a lot of guys opted out that were supposed to be parts of this year's line or were parts of this year's line. And again, good luck to you, but I don't know that that's necessarily bad news for Kansas.
Yeah. The one guy who opted out and, you know, in all likelihood will be back is Jacoby Lott, who plays inside. I don't have a good feel for, you know, maybe what led him to go ahead and, you know, not play the rest of the season. I don't know if it was injury related. He obviously has kind of a health history. If you remember when he first got here, he had an incident in the preseason that some sort of health scare that he ended up having to be taken to the hospital.
So yeah, right.
Might be tied to that in some way, just me speculating. But I know the coaches really love Bryce Cabledew, who ended up, you know, getting inserted into the starting lineup probably earlier than he was ready to be, just out of necessity. I know they love him long-term, and I know that they really like Armage Adams-Reed. Those are two freshmen, and then, you know, Garrett Jones is your likely starting center next year. So you're talking about three guys that were freshmen this year. And I mean, technically, depending on how they want to approach it, can be freshmen again next year.
Right.
And then, you know,
huge
Lott,
advantage.
Yeah. So you bring back Lott. You obviously need development from all of those guys, and you would bring back Earl Bostic Jr. as well. And then you've got at least five guys with some experience. And one of the things, Tate, you and I were talking about this, is I wonder if they can bring back Chris Hughes, who wasn't, I mean, obviously not like a dominating O lineman or anything, or, you know, they wouldn't have had so many issues if they had so many good linemen to bring back. But great guy, seems to be a great program guy.
I wonder
if they'll bring him back and just in a leadership role, and, you know, maybe he plays a little bit and you're able to develop some of these younger guys and you don't need as much out of him.
I love what you said. Leadership role and depth, right? If Chris Hughes is your, I mean, he's a guard, right?
Yeah, he played center some too, out of necessity again. But
So there you go. But there, that's even better, because he could essentially be a fifth year senior as your number one backup at three spots. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are worth gold, man. So even if he's not the greatest, you're right. He's a very well liked among the team and the coaching staff and all that. So that'd be nice. And Cabledew is a left tackle. Is that right? Is that the?
He spent all year at right tackle.
Okay.
In practices, and then had to kind of take that on once they had issues on the line.
Okay. So him and Bostic, though, in that scenario, tackles.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that could change, obviously. You've got the whole offseason to tinker, but I do think they do like Cabledew as a tackle.
Okay.
Yeah, and at this point, that I guess you would start the year with the way you ended it, with Bostic at left and Cabledew at right.
Okay, there you go. Shane, chime in. You talked a lot about the line this season. You wrote a lot about the line this season. Benton did as well, but you were the, like he mentioned, the hardcore numbers guy. You loved it. So how do they get better?
Oh, I do think Chris Hughes has a chance to start. And he actually grades out really well in run blocking, you know, even before this past year. It was 2 years ago. He was their best run blocker. And so I think him just being back adds value to that. He struggles in pass protection at times as well. But that element alone, I think, is worth having him back. And you notice, because they would run more to his side when I was in the game. So, the tackles were correct, I think. Bostic and Cabledew. I would be curious to go back and look at how Bostic did at left tackle, because it didn't feel like he was that bad, I guess, compared to what it was before he got there. It wasn't that bad. But I thought earlier in the season they were going to make that move. And maybe I think there was an injury midseason that prevented that from happening. But I think, you know, he might be better suited for left tackle. But if Cabledew as well, I think Bostic would be fine at right tackle. And you feel pretty confident, I think, with those two as your tackles. And if Jacoby Lott is coming back, then he plugs in as your left guard, and it comes down to who the center is.
Yeah, well, the other thing that's interesting, and I want to get both of your thoughts on this, because so far, and Benton, when is the December signing period? It's like next week, right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they'll sign a class of roughly 20? That's the expectation anyway?
Well, I mean, I think by the time it's all done in February, I would assume it would be 24, 25.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, but early here. It's about that right now?
Yeah, it might be around 20.
Okay, so either way, they'll sign a group. What are the three offensive linemen in that group so far?
Yeah, right now. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal, though. So through last year and then this class that can start signing next week and will be finalized by February, it's been all high school. That's the other one thing that Les Miles has been able to say. I said I was going to do it this way, and I'm doing it this way, which has been totally different from any of the coaches that came before him. And so that's a positive thing. I think the fans have really embraced that. I think that the program has really spun that as this is a good thing. This is what we want. This is how you build. And we've all heard it. The question I have is, the transfer portal's a thing. JUCO is still a thing. And now that you've stacked two completely high school driven classes on top of each other, Is the fan base going to give Les a pass if he goes out and gets a transfer offensive lineman or two to help out? Because I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't have any problem with that right now. That line was so bad and they need so much help that if that's how you can help it, that's what you should do. Now, you can't go get 10 JUCO guys. That's not going to work, right? We've seen that. But I don't think that's what anybody wants to. What do you think about that, both of you? I mean, do you think that's a viable thing? And how do you think it would be received in the KU football fan world? Because, my God, man, hats off to all of you guys who are still so invested in this program. There's a lot of diehard KU football fans out there still. And you have my utmost respect. It's incredible. So how will that be received? And is that an option, do you think?
I would do it. I think it's a viable move. And I mean, just a little bit ago, we were struggling to name the 4 or 5 starters. Even if you have a decent back-to-back high school classes, you still need more depth than that if we're struggling to name who the 4 or 5 starters are. So I think for that alone, for the depth alone, I would add a transfer. And obviously he likely could start in that scenario. And so I think it's a very viable move, because whatever it was this past year is not going to work if you just run it back and go next year. So you have to do something different, I think.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be too upset with them if they were just finding one guy, you know, taking that avenue to bring in one guy who could actually help you be more competitive next year.
Right.
It'd be a lot different than what we've seen in the past with, you know, multiple grad transfers on top of multiple JUCO transfers. You know, this is kind of an anomaly for what KU is doing right now. And also, I mean, because of the bizarre, you know, 2020 ramifications, there's no scholarship limit next year. So,
right.
I mean, that kind of helps you for that 1 year. You can, you know, bring in a guy that you might not necessarily wanted to have, you know, used a scholarship on in normal circumstances, and, you know, be completely fine because of, you know, you have this, it's just going to be chaos as far as like how many scholarship players a lot of these teams have.
Yeah. And it's not going to hurt you. I mean, like that's exactly right. You're not going to cut into anything by doing it. And I agree with both of you. You got to do it. I think you got to look at it, especially because it's basically going to be a completely new line anyway. Right. So the whole chemistry and camaraderie and you know, time spent together, that's not even working in KU's favor right now, really. So as long as they can have something that looks like spring ball, which is still very much a question, I guess, at this point, but I feel like they'll have something, and then they hopefully will be able to have a regular preseason and off season and you know, leading into August. So if they can do that, there's plenty of time for that to happen. I want to get into, we got maybe 10 more minutes here today, but I want to get into two more things. Number one, I want to finish up maybe Benton with a couple more names on offense, because I don't think we got really past Jalen and the O-line. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the most popular question that I see on Twitter and people talking about this team right now. And with all of these people leaving, with all these opt-outs and transfer portals and the punter going the transfer portal route, for goodness sakes, I think people are starting to get worried that the numbers thing is going to continue to be a problem, and maybe even they'll take a step backwards. Do you have any insight on that? My gut feeling tells me, because of transfers and this 1 year of weirdness where they can still just go add players and things like that, I think that they can still gain on it. Maybe not by a lot, but I don't think it'll hurt them. And I know, Benton, we've talked about you doing a big numbers story once the season ends, and the season has ended, so you get to do that sooner rather than later, which I'm sure you'll do a great job on, and it'll take some time. I mean, that's the thing. You can't just bang that out in an afternoon. You got to really look at that thing. So I know we'll get into that more. Benton will have a great story about that not too far from now, I'm sure. But right now, do you have any just general insight on the numbers game that's really been the story with this program since Charlie Weiss, since David Beatty came over? I mean, that's been the thing.
The only thing that I would be worried about if I was a fan is if, you know, we start to see more players that have not opted out or entered the transfer portal do that in the following weeks. But I mean, based on the guys who've done it, it's like, who cares, honestly?
Yeah.
I mean, they were all, a lot of them were seniors. So you were going to just be bringing them back because you could in 2021 next year, if they were coming back, and you might not have wanted to bring any of those guys back.
Right.
I guess it's wait and see for me, but I mean, based on the guys who are in the transfer portal right now, it's to me, it's like, this is not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, and the good news too is, right, like, at the very least, let's say, I don't know how many it is, 4 or 5 maybe in the portal, something like that. Maybe.
Well, before the year, Antoine Frazier, the offensive lineman, opted out and he entered the portal. Api Mane did that a few weeks back. He was also a senior, you know.
Right.
Kyle Thompson, senior punter. Today, Kyle Mayberry. So another guy who you might not have even been bringing back,
right,
you know, just looking to extend his career somewhere else. Julian Chandler entered the transfer portal. The guy was not a factor at any point while he was here. I guess the one younger guy is Clinton Anakwaru, who just this week entered the portal, but you know, he was here for this season, and you know, maybe he just wasn't part of the plan, so he decided to go a different route. I mean, to me, those aren't things to freak out about if you're.
Yeah. Well, and that's it, right? So there's 6 names that you gave right there. And so at the very least, with this free COVID year and the whole thing, at the very least, if they lose 6 to the portal, they can go find 6 in the portal. And then it's a wash. Like you said, you bring a guy in, it doesn't count against your scholarship limit. It's for 1 year. It's basically to maybe replace those guys. I don't think that's going to be hard. And so then you're talking about gaining on it the way you already would have, which is building through the recruiting classes and things like that. So to be determined, obviously. And again, that's something that Benton will so happily spend so much time diving into and have a great time with, I'm sure. It is interesting. It's fascinating. I'll never forget this. I don't know where I was going, but I was in the Nashville airport and I had like a 4-hour layover or something ridiculous. I was going to cover a game somewhere several years ago. And I was bored, had nothing to do, had already eaten. I think I had Chinese. And the next thing I know, I just got my computer out and started writing about the numbers. And I ended up writing like 2,800 words about where they were numbers-wise. And I mean, none of that matters today. None of it holds up because that was so long ago. But it was basically just a look of where it's at. And I only had the ability to do that because I was stuck in an airport. You have a wife and a daughter and other parts of your job. So it's going to take some time, but I do think it's like the number one most fascinating thing that people who follow this program are really interested in. I mean, even more so than who's playing quarterback. I think the numbers thing has become such a stain on this program that Everybody knows it, everybody uses it, and everybody wants to know where it's at. That includes the three of us. So it'll be interesting to see what you can kind of put together, but also it'll be interesting to see what they do with it, how it goes from here, because so far so good. Les is trying to make progress in that area, and it's still a little bit of a ways down the road. So Shane, anything on the numbers before we let both of you guys finish it up with more offensive names to like?
No, but I did remember now something I wanted to bring up earlier when we were talking about Jalen Daniels is I don't think it's unlikely that KU could entertain the transfer quarterback market, right? Like they right. did last year, and what has changed in the past year other than the fact that you played three quarterbacks and didn't find a guy you liked? I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And maybe you give another year to develop for Jalen Daniels and figure it out. Maybe it's not likely, but it's just – it's something that they did last year. I don't think it's something that we shouldn't expect this year, I guess.
This is a great point because Jalen's going to be a freshman next year again. And so the plan, like Benton said, is for him to come in and not play as a freshman. Well, he had to this year. So if that's what happens next year and he doesn't play and he just develops and then by year three he's ready to go as a sophomore – that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but who knows? I mean, Ben Easters could be better than him. They could find somebody else who's better than him. That's a position they're never stopping with regard to recruiting it. I mean, you always are looking pretty much at every program, but certainly at a place like Kansas. So I'm glad you brought that up because that's interesting. I don't have any idea if there's any transfer portal quarterbacks worth it out there, but there were last year, right? Like who's the guy that ended up, oh, King, was that
Felipe Franks?
Yeah, yep. Felipe Franks, right? And
they thought they had him.
Yeah.
It got really close.
And he ended up Miami?
Arkansas.
Arkansas, there you go. That's the same thing, Miami and Arkansas. Basically the same – basically the exact same place. So, okay, well, good thought, Shane. I'm glad you threw that in there because that's – look, it's not a knock on Jalen at all. I mean, I like Jalen long term. I do. I think he showed a lot this year. He's just got to get some help and he's got to get better. There's no doubt. But that'll be interesting to watch. So, Benton, a couple more names on offense before we shut this thing down. I think it's been good. I don't think we've rehashed the negative, brutal season that it was too much. I mean, we didn't talk about worst play. We didn't talk about worst game. We didn't talk about most lopsided score. I mean, you know, none of that. So hopefully people found out that this was a little bit more of a look ahead. So other names on offense that you like?
I guess, like, you know, well, we mentioned Cable Dew and Adams Reed. I think that's important to note that,
sure,
that there are young offensive linemen that the coaches really like. Daniel Hyshaw is a powerful runner. He earlier in the year, you know, he was kind of just like used in wildcat situations or sometimes just short yardage, like fourth and ones, that type of thing. But this past game at Texas Tech, he was the running back, and you know, there's some promise there. I think it just, and definitely, a lot of it for me is just because of the way he's built and how tough he seems.
Right.
So and then, you know, Luke Grimm came out of nowhere these late in the season. And that was an out of necessity thing, but he really impressed. You know, he ended up being, you know, the second leading catcher on the team, you know, behind Kwame Lassiter. So he made big plays at times down the field with Jalen Daniels. He is a guy who showed that he didn't mind, you know, blocking on the perimeter. He had a forced fumble right after a KU turnover. The guy's just like a hardworking dude, and you know, really impressed once he got that chance. And then Lawrence Arnold's a big receiver who they loved and thought might contribute this year, but he ended up getting injured. So then you got, you know, a guy like McBride, who's a receiver, got a little bit more playing time late in the year. Haven't seen a ton out of him yet, but those are young freshmen that this coaching staff really likes.
The other running back, well, I won't be able to butcher his name, so.
Amari Pesekixon.
There it is. Three names. I knew it was, and I didn't know what order. I was about to do the Tom Keegan Kendrick Miles instead of Miles Kendrick, so I didn't want to do it. But yeah, I mean, there's enough to like there too, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big back too. But to me, you know, Hyshaw seems to be a guy that they like a little bit more. And then, sure, obviously you got Devin Neal joining the bunch next year from Lawrence High, who was a stud, as Shane can attest, having seen him dominate throughout this year. So,
in like a half, I mean, poor kid would have the national high school record if he played second halves. So, yeah, and what a great kid. What a great person to add to this program. I mean, that is a young man who believes that KU's got good days ahead, and he doesn't have to believe that. He could go a lot of other places, and he has remained so solid. Now, part of it is he gets to play baseball, and that's what he likes to do too. So that's pretty cool, but that's going to be a nice addition. And it just continues to show, man. I mean, here in the last year, right? Like the last couple of years, you know, you look at Dom Williams, Puka, and Khalil Herbert, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're loaded at running back, and then they're all gone. And then they're still pretty good at that position. So this isn't a program that's like a zero on a scale of 100, zero to 100 at every position, like the results might show you. Like, right? That's what you see from those numbers and the scores and the grades and things like that. You think they're just a disaster everywhere. And that's just not the case. I mean, their running back position would be one that a lot of programs would love to have, you know, so there's some hope there, and you just got to put the right pieces around it. And obviously if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have an O-line, you don't have a chance. And that's the story of the year. I mean, if they were
story of the decade for this,
there you go. Program. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's probably even more to the point. I mean, if they were going to put that on a Christmas card, that would be it. If you don't have a quarterback and you don't have an O-line, you don't have a chance. Merry Christmas. So the beat goes on for KU football and for Benton Smith. And Shane, who dutifully covers this program, like from the grades and numbers standpoint of it, my hat is off to you both. I enjoyed covering it. I think it's fascinating. I really do. I mean, Les is fascinating. The quarterback thing was fascinating. I was in there as long as I could be this year, and then basketball started, and then the football decline really started. And so I opted out is how I would put it for the last maybe four games or something like that. But there's interest there. There's something to pay attention to. And obviously we will throughout the off season and heading into next season. It's going to be it's a really big year. Would you agree with that? I mean, like, I think Les was year one. It was a pretty decent start. Like, not only did they win three games, but they could have won one or two more. So not bad. Hey, welcome to town. This is kind of cool. And then everybody kind of knew this was coming. They knew this was going to be a step back, a year that didn't go as well. You lost your quarterback. You had lots to replace. And it was. They went 0-9. And so now those are kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum. And so now year three is, to me anyway, going to be very telling about the direction of this program under Les Miles. Like, what we see in year three is probably an indication of what's there. Do they make a step forward? Do they show improvement? Does it get better? If it does, there's reason to believe it will keep going that way. If it's more of the same like this year, then I don't think there's reason to hope at that point. I mean, you can't have back-to-back years like this when you're, you know, already have your foundation in place. So I think year three, probably with a lot of coaches, is so fascinating and such a pivotal year. But I think that's definitely going to be the case with Les Miles and the KU football program in 2021. So stay tuned. It'll be really, really interesting. Benton, you want any final thoughts before we kick this thing out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people who, you know, tuned in week after week this year are probably realistic about what 2021 could look like in its best case scenario. And I mean, it's going to be another losing year. I mean, these guys aren't going to be able to work miracles. You would need, you know, 20 guys to make dramatic leaps to, you know, suddenly be a winning team in 2021. So I know fans are sick of hearing it, but I mean, they're going to have some patience again. But I think, like, if you're realistic about it, you're just looking for this team to be competitive like it was against Texas Tech, right?
Right.
Just don't go out and lose by 40 every week like they were at the worst stretch of this year when things were really snowballing out of control.
Yeah, no, I think that's right on the money. I mean, it's people are realistic, and I think people just want to see just they just want to have a reason to tune in. They don't want to hear talk about raking leaves. Shane did his thing last week, right? And the hashtag, I didn't even use it, but Shane did. Rake those leaves. I mean, that was good stuff, Shane. I appreciate you. And then I was dead wrong. It ended up being a game that was actually worth watching. So good for them. I don't know if it was well played by either side, but it was worth watching in terms of competitive nature. So that's the ticket. That gets you relevance. That gets you fan interest, fan support. Just be competitive, be interesting, be worth watching. It's not too much to ask. So that's where we're at. That's the year that was and the look ahead. We'll have more football podcasts throughout, but the next couple of months, obviously going to be heavy basketball. We'll jump on one next week with a look at the start of the Big 12 season and a look back at Omaha and Tarleton State, the two barn burners on the schedule for this weekend. So for Shane Jackson and Benton Smith, I'm Matt Tate. Thanks for checking out the KU Sports Hour here at KUSports.com. We'll see you guys next week with some hoop talk. And I hope everybody's doing well, staying safe, staying happy, healthy, and enjoying the season. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you guys real soon.